From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Oh, hey there, children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello to everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever cape wearing, forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my brother, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey, Bob. Yes, here. And the water drinking as well.
You're drinking water. Hey, man, that's all I've been water. Drinking since I've been ill.
Well, water is supposed to be good for you, Bob. I learned that recently.
Water is good for you. Throw a little lemon in there, an electrolyte packet, and you're going a long
Isn't
way.
Isn't it crazy? Nobody's ever said anything bad about water. Usually there's something there's always something hazardous to your health, but water is the one thing that's consistent. It's always good for you.
So I can't talk about it yet, but speaking of water, I am in talks, and by talks, I mean I sent them an email, to get my first brand endorsement through a water company.
Okay.
I'll give you the quick gist of things. I'm not going to mention the brand name because branded content is a whole thing.
And we didn't arrange this before.
We didn't. No. So there's since I can't drink alcohol right now due to my liver issues.
Yeah.
Vicks got me on this stuff called Euphoric drinks.
Okay.
Which is a completely legal thing. You could buy them at like Walmart. It's got different like herbs and stuff in it that kind of like relax you.
Yeah.
So it's like a natural, like sparkling water. And I've been kind of drinking one of those a day to, you know, cause I'm not drinking alcohol and I can't really do a whole lot of fun things. So that's like my relaxing moment. Yeah. And I'm enjoying the heck out of those, man. They're really good.
Relaxing herbs, much like Colonel Sanders had.
Something like that. And it's legal. It's no funny business.
No. Well, that's good.
Yeah, and you don't need age limit to buy it. You can just buy it. It's fun stuff.
How about that?
But anywho, so Count, Memorial Day weekend just passed us, so let's get an update from you. What'd you do during the weekend?
Yeah, you know, did the traditional barbecue with some of the Count's family, of course. But
family.
Other than that, it was a nice 3-day weekend there, Bob.
I have a bone to pick with you.
What'd you do?
You didn't laugh at my joke. I said vampily.
Oh, vampily.
Boots.
That was a good one.
You're terrible.
I'll trademark that as well. But overall, a good weekend, Bob. How about yours?
You know, my weekend's been like every other day since I've been sick. All I do is, you know, I stream. Therefore, I am. But this yesterday, I did something really amazing. So Bob After Dark is now proudly partnered with the Extra Life Foundation,
yeah,
which raises money for the Children's Miracle Network hospitals. You donate money, you pledge money to somebody over the year, and they play games for things. Their slogan is play games, heal children. That's like their slogan. So I did something completely different. Yesterday was my first fundraiser, my first fundraising stream, because you kind of pick out whatever days you're going to count towards Extra Life. Some people just stream all for Extra Life all year round. But I'm very proud of myself, and you want to know why?
What? Why?
My first fundraiser that I ran by myself, that I set up, I had 5 Ghostbusters from different Ghostbuster groups around the country, Windy City, Peoria, Circle City, Atlanta, and Hudson Valley. All came together and I ran Ghostbusters, the RPG game. So kind of like Dungeons and Dragons, but Ghostbusters themed, right?
Mm-hmm.
I ran that, which is something completely out of my wheelhouse. And, I'm proud to say that in my 2 hours of streaming the game yesterday, we raised $200 for Chicago Second Life, Extra Life. And I was very proud to say that. And we're going to work on another fundraiser again very soon. But, you know, before we really move on here, but I'm really, it's like, I've always been like a philanthropist. I've always given back in some kind of way. I don't want to call myself a philanthropist, but like I've been very blessed in my life, mm-hmm, even though I'm currently dealing with issues. I'm still blessed. And I'm blessed that you, my fans, have built up this platform for me to be able to call it my job And it's like, well, I need to be doing this to be able to give back too. Like, it's really important. 33 years ago, I was born with a laundry list of health problems. And if it wasn't for the help of professionals at a children's hospital, I wouldn't be here. I would be very much dead. So it's really amazing that, like, I have this opportunity to be able to do this for a kid so that in 33 years from now, they could be sitting down and having some sort of the same message as I am today. So I'm really excited to be a part of that process. And yesterday was my first very successful fundraiser, and I had a lot of fun doing it.
Congratulations, Bob.
Thank you.
Sounds like a big hit. I know what some people are thinking right now as well. Hey, I'm listening on the radio. Why is that? Last
week. Yeah.
So, again, things here at the WGLB Jet TV, they could change from week to week. We thought there was going to be some baseball action tonight. We had some storms moving earlier, so we got rained out of that. And right now they're not at the moment where they're doing sports in the evening.
Hi, everybody. So you get Bob.
As we said last week, Jet TV live on Tuesdays, but then a replay on Sundays. But, you know, for this, though, it's like a happy little treat. You never know. Tune in on a Tuesday night. You'll never know what you hear.
Yeah. But yeah. Well, always on Jed TV. But anyway, yeah. Before we move in, Bob After Dark, here's your weekly show where we talk about legends, lore, supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and of course, Count Panic's favorite not meat option to put on a grill.
Oh, not meat option to put on a grill. Wow. How about a...
You're from Indiana, so there's a very – yeah, there you go. I was like, if you don't say corn, you can leave. What was that?
I'm trying to think that's my absolute favorite. That's a good thing to put on the grill.
Oh, that's my favorite, man.
People put the vegetables on the grill. It's pretty good.
Yeah, saute, like a shish kebab.
How about pierogi, potato pierogi?
I've never grilled a pierogi, man.
We got to try it.
That's a boiled thing.
Yeah.
I think your dad's going to fight you for saying that. But, you know, so we're kicking off the show today, and we have a guest. So that's a fun thing to talk about. Now, it's interesting because this is a first for Bob After Dark. So in our time of being on the show count, you and I have interviewed some really amazing people.
Yeah.
We've interviewed people like Joe Diamond, who's, you know, a mentalist. We interviewed Ron Dat Time, who's like the gothic illusionist. Mm-hmm. You and I have spoke to people, cartoonists.
Yeah.
We've spoke to filmmakers.
Clergymen.
What was that? Clergymen. We have spoke to people from the clergy. We've spoke to TV stars. And, you know, we've spoke to a lot of interesting folk. But I gotta say, I've never spoke to somebody who is, in essence, a toy maker. And I'm really amazing. Like, toy's a broad statement. It's a plush maker. They do a lot of really cool stuff. And she's a close personal friend of mine, and we'll talk why she's coming on the show, because, like, Bob, why do you have this random person coming on? But there's a reason for it, guys.
Okay.
I completely promise. So, Count, I always let you do the introductions, so if you may, would you be so kind enough to introduce our guest for the evening?
Well, much like Prince, Oprah, Madonna,
Bob
goes by just one singular term here, D. D from the Sorbet Jungle. Well, that's her company in the Sorbet Jungle. And I can't wait to hear all about it, Bob. You've been talking about it to me throughout the day, and I'm very curious now.
Yes. So without further ado, oh, hey there, dear D. Welcome to Bob After Dark.
Hey. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yes, of course, 100%. So, D, you and I have known each other for several years now, and you are such a talented person. And, you know, for the first time since you and I knowing each other, our paths kind of crossed professionally, and we'll get to that in a moment. But talk to me a little bit about who you are, what you do. You have a very iconic thing in convention culture that if you go to a convention, you will always see this one style plush always there. It is like extremely iconic. So tell us a little bit about your company, that particular character, et cetera, et cetera.
So Sorbet Jungle started in 2010, kind of just as a part-time gig. I was working at the hospital then and realized, having been at the hospital for a number of years, that I wanted to do something that I was really passionate about, which kind of spawned this trajectory. I designed cute characters, which developed into plush toys after a time, and that was something that I was truly passionate about, was like creating plush toys, because I know how much comfort they gave me when I was a child, and I always collected different plush toys, so it was always just something that I was really drawn to do. And one of the earliest characters, not the first, but one of the earlier characters that I created is our character Croc-a-Nana, which has become like our most popular guy.
Yes.
the first one ever was one that I hand sewed, and he was a little derpy, but
so is Count Panic, but I keep him around.
Hey, come on. Now.
I keep Count Panic around. It's okay.
I can be fans with this Croc-a-Nana.
Yeah, so it's been quite an adventure. I've gotten to meet so many wonderful people and been so inspired by people's stories and just telling me how Croc-a-Nana has helped them through hard times. And it's just been really good.
That's amazing. It's really cool when you get to hear somebody's passion like come out. You have that. It's unique. It's different.
Well, and Croc-a-Nana, I was looking at the site. It's sorbetjungle.com, correct there?
Correct.
Yep. Now, Croc-a-Nana, where did the idea from Croc-a-Nana? I mean, you kind of what pictures a croc kind of mixed mm-hmm. with a banana. But how did this come to be?
I wish I had one with me, the standard one in here. But so a lot of the characters I design are plush or like animal and food mashups.
Okay.
And there was a particular convention that was at years and years ago. And I was sitting in the artist alley and there was like nobody there. And I was very bored and I had a banana and I just drew a face on it. And I was like, that kind of looks like a crocodile. So I sketched him in my art book. And I got together with some artist friends later in the evening and they saw him and they're like, oh my gosh, you have to make that into something. And I was like, really? Because like back in that time period, everybody was doing cats. I mean, cats are forever.
Yes.
But no one was really doing reptiles. So I was like, I don't know. I don't know if this is going to work, but we did it.
They get a bad rap sometimes, those reptiles. So you're kind of helping people get over that hurdle of, loving reptiles.
Absolutely.
Now, Count, when I say this thing is like infamously popular, right? Yeah. I knew the Croc-a-Nana before I met D. When I met D and I saw the character at the booth, I'm like, oh my God, that's so funny because I've been doing cons forever. And, you know, now I'm working in them. So I know most of the vendors when I walk into a hall these days, but I find it so interesting that this plush is at every show I'm at. It doesn't matter what show somebody's carrying one of these things around with them.
Croc-a-Nana.
Yeah. And the name just rolls right off the tongue. And it's so cool. And I'm very blessed to know D in my life because I know a lot of people that do a lot of really fascinating things, but toy making is so cool. That's so different, you know? Big fan. Now, D, you are doing something that crosses into the Bob After Dark universe. So what are you doing?
So I think we started last year. I don't remember the exact timeline, but we did a line of like spooky Croc-a-Nanas for like Halloween, because that's the best holiday. Mm-hmm. And one of those is the Mothman.
Hey, look at that. Now, if you're watching on Jet TV, D's got the Croc-a-Nana Mothman inspired one. Look at that.
Mm-hmm. So he's got little wings, lots of embroidery details. And he's just real cute. Like, you can't not love Mothman anything.
Right. I mean, that's kind of why I'm here. Mothman is kind of important around here, wouldn't you say, Count?
I would say so.
So what brought you to the, you know, Mothman's obviously a really popular figure, but like, how did you come up with the design for the Mothman Croc-a-Nana? Where, like, did you just start, you're like red eyes, need the little feather look, like, how did this come about?
Basically, I wanted, I think the most challenging thing is just to make a lizard look like they have hair without making the body actually furry, which is why there's these silver embroidery details to kind of loosely illustrate that stylized way. And then just adding some really cute embroidered wings to it.
Is that your first Nana with wings?
Yes.
So this is something completely different for you. Have you ever done, and I don't know if the term avian is correct, but bird-like. Have you ever done something like this before where you're putting like a feather texture on one of your Nanas or?
Mm-mm, nope.
Wow. So this is,
yeah.
That's pretty amazing. And you could tell the love you put in that project. And so you're not, the being spooky side of you is nothing new to you either. You know, you listen to my show. I've seen you at my panels at cons before. Mm-hmm. So just kind of transformation. You're like, all right, if I'm going to do a cryptid, I'm going to do Mothman.
Yeah, you have to. Like, he's got to be at the forefront of any cryptid line.
So here's the thing, folks. Now you might be thinking, okay, I need one of these right now. Well, they're not available right now. They're just not, because D is raising something called a Kickstarter, and let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So this is our fourth Kickstarter. The first one was also for Colossal Nana, which we haven't talked about yet. We'll get into that real soon. So this is a second Kickstarter for the Colossal Nana initially, because everybody really wanted to get those again. And we haven't had them available since 2019 when we had our last Kickstarter. So between the Colossal Nana, and we have like a whole fruit smoothie line, which is a combination of different fruits that you would often add to bananas in smoothies. So you have strawberry, peach, blueberry, and like there's 10 of them all together. Dragon fruit, I think, is the favorite of those. But I lost my train of thought.
You're okay. Cow panic makes people nervous. Talking to a vampire.
Very uneasy.
You're talking to a vampire. It makes you uneasy. You know, it's okay.
Intimidating.
Yeah. It's that, but I think it's more the ADHD.
No, you're fine.
So I wanted to add to this Colossal Nana Kickstarter, like a lower tier item, because not everyone can spring for like the big boy, which I have here and I can show you.
Yes, let's see what this colossal, this is not the Mothman one, but this is, Count, be prepared. I've seen these before. It is a sight to be seen.
Oh man, okay. Should I brace myself?
Literally brace yourself. If I threw this thing at you, look at that.
Look at that.
D, how tall, that's taller than you. How tall is it?
He's 6 feet long.
Yes, it is nearly as tall as I am.
How long did it take for you to make that?
So I design all of them. And we have a manufacturer that makes
them. That's huge.
So depending on like how long revisions and things takes, it could be like a month or two or longer just to get everything.
I mean, you don't need a bed with that. You could just sleep on that thing.
That thing is massive.
So what we're trying to do with this Kickstarter is release new colors of that bad boy. And this is one of the ones that we want to make.
Oh.
In that size.
Oh. They're doing a 6 foot long Mothman Nana. That's pretty wonderful.
I think Bob wants that.
Bob's getting one. There's no question about that.
You have to have it.
Oh, I do. And the one you're holding in your hand is actually going to be living on my desk, hopefully very soon, as a promotional item. So that's going to be mine. But the big chonkuses, we're going to hopefully get our hands on a couple so I can give them away to some of the fans out there. But it's just so amazing. So is the baby Mothman's going to be available with the chonkus ones, or just the goal is to make the colossal ones, or both sizes?
So this size is available on our website right now.
Oh, excellent. Okay, good. So you guys can order the mini ones, proper term, D, what's the proper term? Not mini, but regular?
We call them like the OG or the regular size Croconana.
Sure. So the regular Mothman Croconana is available right now at sorbetjungle.com. Or if you're at a con, right? Or is it an online exclusive?
Nope. Either way.
Okay. And you're going to be at Colossal Con Prime this weekend out east, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is in Sandusky?
Correct.
Hey!
Sandusky, Ohio.
Yes, Sandusky, Ohio. So if you guys are my fans, I have fans out there because I spoke at Ohio Con for years. If you're at Colossal Con and you see Sorbet Jungle, go up and be like, hey, I saw the Mothman Nana on Bob After Dark. Go get you one. But the massive one. So how much does the classic size run?
So through the Kickstarter, the classic size runs $25.
Okay. Yeah, but now the big one is not $25, folks.
Correct.
Yes.
So they are $250, and that does not include shipping, but They do come unstuffed, so the shipping is really reasonable.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah.
That is so great, D. And so how far are we away from the Mothman colossal size one? How far away are we on the Kickstarter to get that achieved?
When I checked last, we were about 14,000.
14,000 off. And what was the goal number for that?
70.
70. So you raised, math, what is it, 53?
We're a little over 56,000 right now.
That's amazing. Look, guys. Yeah. And I want, and this is a side Bob project, right? The side Bob note. When you put your mind to something and you want to accomplish a dream, you know, there's people like Vix out there who run the Paw Star Company, and you have D right here who literally took a drawing and made an empire out of Nana crocodiles. Mm. And that is such an amazing feat. And the fact that you can come on my show and say that you raised over $50,000 from just your loyal fan base is flooring. You should be really proud of yourself.
Thank you. I feel so blessed. It was when we started the Kickstarter, I think it started 12 days ago. We had no idea how the response was going to go. Like, we figured it, like most of the beginning things would fund, but we funded our initial goal in like 19 minutes, which is insane.
That is so impressive. And so, Bob After Dark fans, I am going to be teaming with Dee to get her to the goal so the massive Mothman Nana can be available for you guys. So the Kickstarter will be promoted on the Bob After Dark page starting tomorrow, so you guys can go and check that out. It'll be pinned at the very top, so you guys can go and help Dee finish that thing, because I don't know about you all, but a 6 foot tall Mothman Crocodana is everything I ever wanted in my life. So let's say Mothman does really well, D. We got it done. You know, Mothman sells really well. Will there be future cryptids in the way? Because I have people chatting me up right now asking for the pants as a crocodile. The Fresno Nightcrawler. Will we see something like the Fresno Nightcrawler or the Michigan Dogman or anything like that in the near future? Or Nessie for Count Panic.
Nessie, yeah.
I do actually have a prototype of Nessie Crocanana already.
Oh, do you have it? Can you show it?
I don't.
It's in production.
I'm so sorry.
That's very neat. Because I was looking at the site and I see there's many things on the site, including the Halloween edition Crocananers. We had, of course, you showed the Mothman one, but there's a skeleton, a kind of a ghost inspired one, a pumpkin inspired one. I'm sure they all have very unique names. But from what I've seen,
right, we'll keep count out of the toy making business, folks.
It could be kind of like those things. I don't remember a little thing back in the 90s called Beanie Babies. This could be the next Beanie Baby craze.
Ooh, I think was it Squishmallows?
Yeah, those are really popular.
Those are popular too, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Dee's probably out selling Beanie Babies in 2024, Kyle. I'm sure of it.
I'm sure of that too.
Dee, so where can people find out about the Kickstarter so they can go and get their, make sure they get the massive Moth Nana like available for them?
You can go to any of our social media. We have Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all Sorbet Jungle. Also, ColossalNana.com will take you directly to the Kickstarter page.
Sounds good. And you guys can find that on Bob After Dark social media starting tomorrow, so you guys can go and catch that out. And Dee, I just want to thank you so much for coming on and talking about your product. You and the people that are running the, you know, booths at cons, especially women ran businesses, it is such an inspiring thing to see. And, you know, a lot of my fans come from like content creation backgrounds, and what you're doing is content creation in a physical sense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're an artist putting something together. And at the end of the day, I think people can learn from people like you. And I think your story needed to be heard. So I'm glad that you got to share your story on this little slice of life I call my home. And I appreciate that.
I appreciate you having me on. It's a pleasure to be here with you and chat with you guys. I love listening to the podcast.
Oh,
so
thank you so much
for introducing me to your fans.
Yes. And so, folks, real quick, we're going to take a quick break. Count Panic, do you have any closing words for Dee?
Check out the shop, sorbetjungle.com.
Yes.
You got the shirts and pins, and there's a lot of stuff on there.
Yes, there's a lot of merch. You guys can check all that stuff out. It's a lot of fun. But yeah. The Mothman Nana. And see, we need the Bob After Dark Count Panic Mothman, like the Nanas. We need the matching set of me
wow.
and you, man.
How about that? That's next level.
That's coming soon, folks.
We'll buy it.
All right. Thank you guys so much. So we're going to take a quick break count, and when we come back, we're going to get a news story, and then we're going to dive right into the lore of the week. How does that sound?
That's fine.
Excellent. D, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate you so much from the bottom of our hearts.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right.
Take care, D.
For our live fans, stick around. We'll be right back. And to our podcast fans, you're about to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
This is Mike.
This is Jacob.
And this is Matt.
We are Moth Boys,
a podcast on cryptids, conspiracies, and the unknown.
Unknown.
You can catch us every other Monday on actually wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Thank you.
And we're back. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey there, Bob.
What'd you do during break?
During the break, Bob, I collected all the crocodanners I could possibly find. And got a whole collection.
What an interesting, like I said, I know Dee personally, and she is just such a delight. And she's extremely talented. You know, Sorbet Jungle is always a cool, like, presence to see at a con. And I, you know, the fact that the Mothman Nana is a thing that's happening is just so cool.
Yeah.
I'm super excited to be able to be a part of that process with her. And hopefully be able to give some of them away for you guys, because I'm looking forward to having that as a thing to do to promote as well.
Sure.
What did I do during break? You know, Count, I sat down and I started sketching out the Bob Nanas.
Well, and how are they coming out?
I'm not a good artiste.
Need some flannel.
it needs some flannel, and yours is great. The cape floats.
Yeah.
You know, someday, because the merchandising rights are our own.
Yeah.
But maybe someday we could sell ourselves as toys. Who would want a Bob and Count Panic plush?
Our action figures or something?
Yeah. I think you and I would make good plushes.
All
right.
That works too.
So when, you know, D came on, and when we have a guest on, it's, you know, we kind of shift things around. But Bob After Dark's usually split up into two parts. This is for all the fans of Sorbet that are still sticking around. What we do is we have the weird spooky news of the week. That's where you, the fans, and me, the Bob, go scouring the news world for the weird and unusual news articles. Anything from cryptid and ghost and alien sightings to the bizarre and unusual findings in the world and advances in science that borderline on science fiction. Count Panic is not given any background.
No.
Other than the occasional he may have a photo to show you guys from an article. And this week I have a couple different articles. We have some time to be able to jump through those. Do we have a caller?
We do not.
Oh, I thought you picked up the phone.
I did not.
All right. So I have three news stories for us this week. Two of them are actually from Metro, which is a completely different, it's like a news source out of the UK.
Okay.
I gave Tim Benal a break on coast to coast.
He's on vacation.
All right. So our first news story is written by Sarah Odine Eisbister. And is the new North Nostradamus predicts exact date of World War III will start. You're familiar with Nostradamus, right?
Yeah, he predicts a lot of things.
He's long dead.
He's still predicting things.
Now, I've never really done an episode on Nostradamus. Maybe I will in the future. I'll have to have Steve on for that one, because he'll nail that a lot better than me. Yeah. Nostradamus was this really interesting individual who has predicted many a cataclysmic event and interesting things that are going on in the world. And this one is, there's a new person out there who's predicting the exact day when World War III would start. So an astrologer dubbed the new Nostradamus has revealed his prediction for the exact date World War III will start. Kushal Kumar uses Vedic astrology chart based on planetary and star alignments to forecast the future. He claims the chart previously advised rising tensions between Israel and Hamas, North and South Korea, China and Taiwan, and Russia the Ukraine. Some might say you don't need astrology to tell you that, but he's nevertheless released what he says is the exact date when World War III will start. According to the Daily Star, Kushaw believes that there's a high chance World War III will start on June 18th next month. The Indian astrologer said that the date had the strongest planetary stimulus to trigger World War III through June 9th and June 29th and may have a say as well. This kind of talks a little bit about who Nostradamus is, which we, you know, done. But one of the things that apparently he was able to predict were things like the rise of Napoleon, and the death of Princess Diana. So those are just a couple of the ones that he predicted that I guess can be interpreted as correct. Mm-hmm. But now this new guy says World War III is happening on June 18th. We are not a political show, guys. Keep those comments to yourself. We're not getting into that. It's just the concept that we have somebody predicting the future. Count Panic, what's your take? The hashtag Panics take.
Yeah, I have to go, and I'm familiar with the guy, but I got to kind of look at his track record and see where he's
the new guy. You're familiar with him?
I am familiar with
him. No kidding. Do you know some of the other predictions he said?
I don't know. I'm just saying I'm trying to figure out more of them.
Okay.
See what goes on. But, yeah, you know, there's a lot of speculation, I guess, what's going on in the world today. But, well, you know, all you could do really, Bob, is just kind of wait and see.
The world's a scary place right now, folks, and that's where I'm at with it. We're not a political show. I'm here for you guys to have escapism from the cruel world that we live in. And that's why I have this space available to all of you. It is a safe place where I can take care of all of you as well, regardless of backgrounds, but it's still an interesting thing. Oh God. Sorry guys. I have an extra cushion on my chair and I'm still going through it. It's interesting when you have these newer, I don't want to use the word prophet, but when you have these newer people that are using like star charts and whatnot to predict the future. Nostradamus made thousands of predictions, I believe, and only some of them could be like interpreted as such. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, that stuff's interesting. I find it fascinating. You know, there's certain things I believe, like, you know, you sit down and do a tarot reading with somebody and they can kind of like weave the future for you. There's generic ideas for you and ideals that you're kind of like building up towards, or it'll make pinpoint like things in your own life. A straight prediction of like exact moments and dates in the future, that's tough to say, man.
Yeah. I mean, how can that be possible? But hey.
All right, let's move on to the second story, and you actually have photos for the Pillars of Light story,
yeah,
right?
You know what? We had to get it when we got D out. I think it bumped out a couple of those things, but I will...
You'll bring it back up
while
I read
it?
Back up, okay, sounds good. I'll read it from here. This is by Sarah Hooper. Mysterious, eerie pillars of light appeared in the sky, but the source is very mundane. Locals in a small coastal town were baffled to see 9 pillars of light appearing in the night sky above the ocean. Photos of the bizarre event were shared online after dozens noticed the beams in the Todorori area in Japan on May 11th. User Masashi posted a photo of beams cutting through the cloudy night in the sky on X above Daisian, a small fishing town. He told the news site Hintpot, "When I looked up to the sky in front of my house, I saw several streaks of light in the sky. The beams appeared in the direction of the Sea of Japan, and many have speculated that aliens were behind them. But the odd phenomena has a reasonable explanation, and it's not what you may think. The beams appeared nearly a busy fishing area in Japan, and the lights are actually reflections of the offshore fishing vessel lights. The light is reflected into the clouds and is only seen once every few years, according to Masi-san. The phenomena is known as the Isabarbi Kochu. One of the residents of the area moved to the town almost a decade ago, and she said she has seen this actually 3 or 4 times in that decade. So the beams might not be aliens, but they are certainly interesting." Now, Con, you got the...
I'll pull it up here. You can see it right there.
Excellent. Yeah, that's super fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it, Bob, and it looks like it could be some type of UFO spacecrafts. Multiple ones up in the air.
They're saying it's just light reflecting off of the sky, all and right. The water is kind of shooting those up.
Well,
but man, if I wasn't from that area, Count, and like I didn't know that was a thing that's been seen, I would freak out like hard if I saw this stuff. You
beat
know,
beat me up, they say.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And they're almost like perfectly symmetrical too. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not one of those conspiracy theory types. We're not a conspiracy theory show, but it's always interesting how unpredictable light patterns in the sky always have answers, don't they?
They do. I mean, you got weather balloons, man. Here's another angle of it, that right there, too. But
yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to look at. It looks spooky for sure, but it could be just that reflecting lights.
Yes. Oh, we have a caller.
We do, Bob.
Take them live. Caller, you're on the air.
Go live? Okay.
Yes.
Oh, let me put the phone on.
Did you hang them up?
Hello?
Hi there, caller. You're on the air. If Count Panic didn't hang up
there
on
we go.
Oh, I don't think he did. I'm still here.
Oh, hi there, caller. Who are you?
Hi, Bob. This is Andrew from Indianapolis. How are you doing?
Oh, hi, Andrew from Indianapolis. How are you doing this fine evening? This is a nice surprise.
Oh, you know what? I am standing in liver solidarity with you, my man. I am convalescing after a biopsy of mine, so I'm feeling what you're going through.
Oh, buddy, me and you go through it. Don't worry about it. We'll get through on top. I promise you that.
Amen. Hope so. I hope so, man. So I was fascinated by this story. You know, it's the Sea of Japan, right?
Yes.
Have they done anything to rule out Godzilla-saur-related activity?
Oh, my God. I almost nosed my water.
Oh, God. I can't laugh. It hurts.
It hurts to laugh.
Yeah. It's all good, though.
God, it hurts, Andrew. You're terrible. I think they ruled out kaiju-related phenomena a long time ago, buddy.
And I'm just checking. You said Sea of Japan in strange lights, and the first place my brain goes, you know.
Could be.
You know, just in case it is a kaiju, we have one here that could back us up in case of an emergency. Maybe you heard of him. His name's King Kong. The superior of the kaijus?
Oh.
Mm.
We're good, buddy, Bob. We're good buddies. I'm gonna let that pass, okay?
His name is King Kong.
Yes, but a king bows to a god.
Mm. Mm. we're not getting... This isn't kaiju, Bob,
after
kaijus.
This is more dangerous than politics. This is more dangerous than that, yeah?
I've always been a King Kong fan. I like Godzilla too, guys. Don't get me wrong, but King Kong will always have a special place in my heart, as one of the original one being one of the most complicated films ever made, and we still can't figure out how a lot of those techniques are replicated now. So I have a
that
special place in my heart.
Scared the crap out of me as a kid. I was terrified that King Kong was going to come and grab me and take me away when I was a child. Even though he lives in New York, and I'm about as far from New York as you know.
Andrew, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you.
Have a good night, man.
You too.
How about that?
I didn't expect a kaiju calling. It hurts to laugh.
Godzilla.
Kyle, I need to know. Are you in Team Godzilla or Team King Kong?
That's tough because we should support our hometown. Well, not really hometown.
Chicago don't have no kaiju. We have that. We have the weird thing that hangs out at Sox Park, I guess, with the green. What's the thing called? Do you know what I'm talking about?
What are you talking about?
The green furry mascot.
Oh, the mascot.
Yeah, what's his name?
Southpaw. Yeah.
Southpaw.
Yeah.
We have Southpaw. Yeah. We have the Gary Railcat.
We have Rusty the Railcat.
Rusty the Railcat. That's what we have to protect.
So wait, are those the same level of Godzilla and King Kong?
I'm saying if we supersize them, yeah, then we have our own kaijus.
Well, that's like the Morphin of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
You got that and the Oil Men guy.
What if Mr. Pierogi became...
You know what? Mr. Pierogi. Are you like the Zordon character? Would that make me your Alpha 5?
Yeah.
Aye, aye, aye.
Yeah. Think about all these region folk. But you know what?
This episode's off the tracks, guys.
As a kid growing up, I always gave the edge to Godzilla, though, there, Bob.
Yes. All right, last news story is coming to us from the Daily Star. So all of our news stories are across the pond today, which I'm really proud of. UFO whistleblower shaken after chilly warning to be, and I quote, careful what he says. This is written by Michael Moron. A top U.S. university professor who claimed that aliens are 100% living among us claims that he has been given a sinister official warning to, and I quote, be careful what you say. Stanford professor Gary Nolan revelation comes after the news that a person associated with the UFO back engineering program died, apparently as a result of taking his own life. Daniel Shannon, a lawyer associated with the UFO disclosure community, announced the unnamed engineer's death, saying it wasn't until law enforcement concluded its investigation that we learned that there was no foul play involved. His client, former Pentagon agent Lou Elizondo, has also released a statement stressing that he has no thoughts of self-harm. Elizondo claimed that he had been informed of a threat to his life as a result of his UFO activism and wrote, and I quote, "I would like to make this perfectly clear to the American people. I am not prone to accidents. I'm not suicidal. I'm not abusing drugs. I am not engaged in any illicit activities. If something happens to me or my family, you know what will happen." Now, Gary Nolan, speaking to the UFO podcast, has described a disturbing phone call he received discouraging him from saying too much about the United States government's UFO program. Referring to Elizondo's statement, he said, and I quote, "I know the specific incident that Lou is discussing. It was real and it's ongoing. It's not my place to talk about it, but it's pretty serious. I got a phone call from myself at one point basically telling me to be careful how much I was talking about things. I won't go into specifics of what was said and all the rest, but shook me." Professor Nolan said the chilling came from someone, and I quote, "in the government," and he has been increasingly active within the UFO community in 2012 after debunking the alleged alien mummy found in Chile's Atacama Desert. Shortly after the incident, he claims to have been approached by some people representing the government and an aerospace corporation to help them understand the medical harm that had come to some individuals related to supposed interactions with an anomalous craft because, and I quote, "they were interested in the kinds of blood analysis that my lab can do." In May 2023, he publicly claimed that several world governments have retrieved material from extraterrestrial craft, saying that it's 100% certain that extraterrestrials have not only visited Earth, but have been visiting Earth a long time, and that there's aliens living among us right now. Hmm. And apparently he got the old hush-hush treatment from the Men in Black.
Yeah.
Hashtag panics take.
Well, nothing new here, Bob, right? We know the story of the Men in Black.
We had a story we covered on here before with
Pat Lugano.
Yeah.
One of our veterans here. Yeah, he had a little brush up with the Men in Black when he was a kid. But, you know, nothing new here, Bob, right? If you know a little bit too much, they're going to come looking for you.
That's why we don't cover things like that. I'm covering a news story.
Yeah.
So I have enough problems, listen, guys. I assure you
that. The Men in Black, we are not, we don't know anything.
Unless you're Agent Jane K. In which case, then I could be Agent B, y'all.
You could.
You hit me up, man. I'm waiting for, I'd look so good in that suit and tie and the glasses.
You get cool devices?
I would, man.
Gadgets?
Yes. Here comes the Men in Black. Yeah, never mind. There's my copyright strike. So, Count, are you ready to dive into the lore of the week?
Sure.
All right. So, I got to give a shout out to a fan, Brianne. Frank and Bree. Somebody just knocked down the window and that scared the ever-living.
Sure?
Yeah, somebody just knocked down the window. They knocked down the window right behind me.
Oh, behind you?
I don't like that.
I think somebody's messing with you.
Somebody might be messing with me, or it's somebody telling me to keep quiet.
Are you sure you heard the
men? I'm not lying to you. Somebody knocked on the window over here.
Well,
maybe somebody was walking by and screwing
maybe,
around.
Maybe, I'm sure.
But anyway, Count, so I got to give a shout out to Franken Mom, or Bree, I'll call her that, a dear friend of mine and big fan of the show. She posted a really fun article on the Bob After Dark Discord, mm-hmm. which was interesting paranormal stories that you might not know about per state. And I was looking through the article, and the first name that popped up on the list was from Alabama, because Alabama's the first state in alphabetical order. And it was the most interesting name I have ever found as far as like a paranormal story that I've covered. So I had to dive deep into who this character was. And so from a little city called Abbeville, Alabama, I have this story for you about Huggin' Molly. Now, guys, I'm going to tell you about Huggin' Molly real quick. This is going to be a precursor for my ghoul scouts out there, my family. My families that listen to the show together, or maybe some of the younger kids that listen. I am a family-friendly show. I pride myself in that, everybody. I pride myself in that very, very much. However, Count Panic.
Yeah.
this episode has to do with something that stalks kids in the night, so might be a little bit more frightening. Not so much, because once I tell you about it, it's a little different, and there's a reason for it. So, just a preface warning, that's all.
Okay.
All right.
So, we're a little warning here.
A little warning, that's all. You ready to move on?
I am ready to move on here, Bob.
So, I'm going to start reading from this article that I found super interesting from J.M. Plumbly, written by Monster Meat, or J.M. Plumbly. Abbeville, Land of Free Hugs, as this person says. So Abbeville is a town southeastern in Alabama that has been around for almost 200 years. For at least half of those, parents there have been warning their children that after sunset, especially on those nights, that they are the darkest and most quietest, it is not advised to be caught outside the home. The familiar warning carries a special weight in Abbeville. There, anyone wandering the streets after dark are liable to get a visit from Huggin' Molly. The stories about Huggin' Molly comprise a fairly transparent effort to get the children to behave. Still, I'll be damned if they aren't effective. Molly is said to tower in the shadows, almost 7 feet tall, wide as a door, and dressed completely in black, either a shroud, a cloak, or a dress, or a wide-brim hat, depending on who you ask. She moves quickly, often too quickly for anyone to escape. And when she catches you, you will learn how Huggin' Molly got her name. She wraps her arms tightly around you, presses herself close, opens her mouth wide in next to your ear, and screams. When discussing Huggin' Molly, many cite the story and of the sighting from Mac Gregory, an Abbeville native who had a run-in with the monster when he was a teenager in the 1920s. Mac worked for a grocery store at the time, and he had just finished his final delivery as it was getting dark. He was walking home when he sensed someone behind him. He turned and made out a figure following in the shadows, a very tall, very wide, all dressed in black. Mac walked faster, and the figure increased their pace to keep match. He slowed, and the figure, coy, slowed too. Knowing that he was unlikely able to outrun this creature entirely, Mac hurried a jog until getting inside of his front door, and then sprinted with all of his might to get inside, slamming the door behind him. When he looked back out again, Molly was gone, and her message, however, stuck around. From that point on, Mac refused to do another night delivery. A similar story comes from a mother of another teenager who was out late. A sixth sense told her that he might be in danger, and he was compelled to run out to the porch. There, in the dim light of the night, she saw him hurrying up the way, and a dark figure was coming fast upon his heels. She screamed out to her son to run and held the door open until he could rush into the safety of the house. In both cases, although the child got away, Molly still achieved her goal. She got their butts inside, and her legend was powerful enough to motivate not only the kids who actually saw her, but any who might have heard the story as a whole. I'm quoting this directly from the writer. I love the Huggin' Molly not only because she is an odd and profoundly creepy, but also because at one time she appears to be based in reality. Some say that Molly was never actually a ghost, contradicting what was initially stated or assumed, but a human with a supernatural talent for making people be a lot more frightened. The original Molly might have been a mother distraught from the death of her only child, seeking comfort by forcing her love on the other children. Another theory that is especially given her size that she might have actually been something else, and in a cruel sense of humor, might have been somebody playing a prank that had that much of a stature. There are at least three situations in which Molly was definitely human. The first involves a disgruntled professor from Southern Alabama Agricultural College, which used to be in local Abbeville. Students from out of town like to go out and visit friends at night, roaming the streets and genuinely causing a ruckus. The professor hated that, so he donned the Molly disguise to scare them back into their beds, and it is quite possibly that he was the original Molly and the legend simply just outgrew him. Then there were the copycats. Mets. In Baton Rouge, a man capitalized on his Molly costume to chase after pretty young women and girls. In Headland, a couple towns over from Abbeville, a hungin' Molly impersonator caused such a stir that the editor of the local newspaper had to post a strongly worded warning, and I quote, "Some unprincipled person is parading the streets of Headland at all hours of the night dressed as," and I quote, "a woman in black. It is frightening the women and children and causing our number of dogs to be kicking up a racket at most any time of night. I have been requested not only to notify the person or thing that it will be shot on sight by a certain husband and father whose wife and child were frightened out of their wits the other night. Somebody is likely to get," and I quote, "herded if they don't learn to behave themselves." Hug and Molly today. There are still many who remember. Sorry, guys. There are many who still remember the tales of Hug and Molly that they heard as kids. Some who even might tell the same stories to their kids now. Either way, her legend is still going strong. The last time that Molly was seen that I found recorded was in 2010 at the annual Yatta Abba Day, Y-A-T-T-A-A-B-B-A Day. It's celebration of Abbeville's heritage, but what a name for a festival, don't you think?
That's a fun
now,
name.
I'm not trying to steal the small town murder shtick. Great podcast, by the way. I'm not stealing their shtick about talking about the town and like an interesting festival. That's their thing. But the Yatta Abba Day, what a name. Yatta Abba?
It rolls off the tongue there.
Sorry, I know we're talking about Hug and Molly, but we got a call.
We do have a call.
Caller, you're on the air.
We'll take it live.
You're live.
Well, that's a very spooky story you're ending the show with there, Bob.
Hey, John, it's late for you. I thought you forgot about me.
Well, it's late night, Bob. Well, you know what? I was, first of all, congratulations on, never forget about you, Bob. I mean, hey.
Thank you.
You know that.
Yeah, I appreciate that, John.
Yeah, congratulations on your fundraising event yesterday. That's great, you know.
Oh, thank you so much.
And, yeah, good luck with that. Very interesting guest, but another, raising of money type of program she's got over there. So good luck to her. And that Stafford professor on the aliens, I mean, is that really news? I mean, isn't it? Kind of old stuff, don't you think?
At this point, John, I'd find it very surprising if any government official was hounding anybody about it, because the alien news is so prominent now that
it's not real.
That's why I'm skeptical about it. I mean, unless this guy was threatened like 10 years ago, then I'd believe it. But in this day and age, how many men in black are going to come to my door and be like, "Stop talking about aliens"? I'm going to be like, "Well, yeah, dude, but now you got a whole channel on the History Channel, which is all predominantly talking about the concept of aliens, you know? Now you got to stop
exactly what I'm saying, you know, that he just get up and say, "Hey, you know, I heard about aliens," and, you know, I mean, just, I don't know, it's just, it's old, yeah, like you say, it's old news already. I mean, how long has this been going on for already?
Exactly. But, at this point, it's like all we need is physical, concrete, like, and I don't want to say evidence because we have evidence. We need some sort of communication back and forth. And I think, John, we're going to have that in our lifetimes. I think we're really close. And then at that point, it's like, what kind of news do we have? What am I'm going to be out of a job. Aliens are real. You know, hey, what am I going to do? Talk about, then it's only a matter of time before Bigfoot's discovered. And it's like, man, I'm going to have to go to start talking about bird watching, you know?
Yeah, as long as Mr. Pierogi's not discovered yet, you know, as long as he keeps his identity, that's the main thing right now.
But, John, you know,
hey, so I hear you're on some new water there you were talking about.
I don't want to say the brand name. I'll tell Count to relay it to you because I highly recommend it. It's not alcoholic.
Yeah. Let him know, and somehow, some way, maybe he could get it to me.
I'll let him
fly it over here. Fly over here or something, and you know.
Absolutely. Now, John, before I let you go, now you're aware of the lore of the werewolf comes out and he turns into the wolf on the full moon, right? You know, Mr. Pierogi becomes Mr. Pierogi not because of the full moon, but the smell of butter on a griddle.
Wow.
And then Mr. Pierogi transforms into this anthropomorphic pierogi.
Hey, that's not a seed. Now, that's something we should, you know, we should expand upon, because that'd be interesting to the people who, you know, that all the pierogi fans, Mr. Pierogi fans out there, that, you know, how he comes into life, so to speak, right?
Backstory.
Absolutely. Well, thanks.
Hey, there you go. Another interesting topic to explore.
I appreciate you calling in as always, John.
Hey, appreciate you too, Bob. You take it easy.
You too, John. Thank you.
All
right. Hi, Count.
That's a cool backstory, Bob.
The Count the Mr. Pierogi.
Yeah, I don't know the guy.
If I'm home for Pierogi Fest this year, I'm gonna call up Dr. Ben Vanderson, and me and him are gonna go hunt that Mr. Pierogi.
You're gonna kidnap him?
We might have to hunt him. We don't know. You know, I don't know how dangerous this thing is. But the Molly legend doesn't just survive through stories and sightings. One Abbeville resident has capitalized on her popularity to build a 50s-style diner called Huggin' Molly's. The theme menu items include Molly fingers, comeback sauce, and as one YouTube video says, sure to give you goosebumps and leave your stomach screaming for more. That is so amazing. I had to point that out, right? I love when a local, and I found the Huggin' Molly's restaurant website, and they, you know, they have the whole legend of the, you know, the legend of Molly's on their thing. They have their whole menu on here. And I love when a town comes together and they embrace the local legend and lore of a creature and they make something out of it. Loveland High School in Loveland, Ohio at one point had a rowing team and they were known as the Loveland Frogs. Like, that to me is just so fascinating when it comes to that bits of lore, you know.
They're embracing it.
They are. And I think if more, you know, even like, so in this case with the Huggin' Molly thing, I'm going to tell you, would you like to know, do you, first off, I got to ask you, do you believe that Huggin' Molly is real?
Sure.
Do you believe it?
Yeah.
I do not. I do not. I'm gonna poke a hole right through this story, and I'm gonna tell you why, Count. The Huggin' Molly story was told back and forth to kids to keep them out from hanging out after dark, to not get in trouble. What better way to keep a kid from being scared than to kind of come up with this story of Huggin' Molly, a 7 foot tall, angry looking woman with long arms carrying a parasol and trying to hug a kid and screaming in their ear, right?
Yeah.
I think it's a story to teach a lesson. Now, do I believe let's say the encounters were actually encounters and they weren't just made up stories, right?
Yeah.
What did those people see that night? Is the question. Do I believe that it was a Huggin' Molly or something else? That's what I got to ask you. But you believe that the Huggin' Molly story is true.
Well, let's see. What else could it be, Bob?
I don't know.
I'm
not familiar with the local legends of that area except Huggin' Molly here. And I don't necessarily believe it, but I do. But what I will say is I find it funny that the college professor like donned her outfit to like shut the college kids up. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But the people that are doing it dressed up and scaring wives, and don't do that, man.
Yeah.
If you showed, I will tell you, go over to Dr. Ben Vanderson's house or our buddy James from Peoria's house dressed like that to give them a scare, and you'll know. So don't do that. But like getting in the spirit of things, maybe around Halloween, I don't know, in Evansville, they got somebody like decked out like I'm walking around the street. But I think it's a really interesting story. And I think I love that the town embraced it enough to have this diner that's still open to this day, by the way.
How about that?
And I don't know, Count, if I ever catch myself in Evansville, Alabama, I'm going to have to drop by this restaurant. I can't eat half the food because I'm a vegetarian. No, but
yeah, they might have some corn on the cob or something like that. But you owe it to them, I think, to make a stop there.
Absolutely. Now, Count, I'm sweating bullets here and I'm in pain, so why don't we call it here?
Sure.
Do you have any closing words for our audience this evening?
Everybody, check out, and I got it right here, sorbetjungle.com.
Yeah, sorbetjungle. And that'll be available, like I said, the links will be on the Bob After Dark social media. Like, when you're listening to this in podcast land, it's available. Go check it out. You can buy the mini one if you can't afford the big one. But if you can afford the big one, get the big one, because the big one's really nice.
What'd you call it? The chonk?
The chonkus.
The chonk.
The chonk and nana. The chonk and nana.
Yeah, chonk and nana.
Yeah, and I got to give a shout out to D. Thanks for coming on and making the day a little better around here, too, and I really appreciate that.
There you have it.
Now, Count, on behalf of me and you, I just want to say goodnight to everybody. To my mom, I want to wish you sweet dreams. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. And to Dad, no matter where you are in the universe, I hope you're happy, comfortable doing whatever it is that you want to be doing. Thank you, everybody, for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. Remember, the two most important rules are not all who wander are lost, and as above, So below, until next time.
Memoriam Development.